Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to kind of begin this day, it is in the morning, the sun coming up, and Lord, we have the opportunity now to quiet ourselves, or maybe to continue quiet this day, and just to listen to you speak to us and to receive from your word for a few minutes and then pray as we would be prompted. And so guide us and lead us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, turn if you would to your notes or 1 Samuel 30. We're going to look at a tragedy in David's life. Can you think of tragedies in your life? When was the last one you had and how did you respond? And how long did it take you to see God's purpose in it? Well, we see a tragedy in David's life here, but I don't believe it's by accident at all. The background here is David, having been pursued by Saul for a number of years, as God was preparing him to be king, preparing David to be king. David had already been anointed, but it took 15 years after the anointing before he was finally made king. And during that 15-year preparation, much of it was in fleeing from Saul. And so we see about the last year and a half of this period of time, David fled to the enemy. He fled to the Philistines. He lived there in the Philistine territory, and actually Achish gave him the city of Ziklag for him to reside in. And he made many raids from there, and they were really all based on untruthfulness, really, because he kept telling Achish he was fighting the Philistine enemies when he was actually fighting Israel's enemies. But we don't see anything about him inquiring of the Lord during that time. And so most people generally assume that we would say he was in kind of a backslidden case of doing what he thought was easier for him to avoid the conflict and to flee and join the enemy's camp. But it's not good to be in the enemy's camp. And so then when they had this big battle coming up in Jezreel Valley, the Philistines all started up there. And so David and his group of 600 men went along. But they get part of the way up, and there's a map on the front there if you want to look at it. At Aphek, it's about halfway between Ziklag and the Sea of Galilee. The princes of the Philistines said, "What is that guy and his men doing with us? He's the guy who is told about slaying his 10,000s, and in the battle he'll turn against us. We don't want him." So Achish saying, "David, you've been very loyal to me, but you can't fight in this battle, so take your men early in the morning and go home." So early in the morning they took off, and it's believed that they went anywhere from 50 to 75 miles in 3 days. I would like for you to walk 50 to 75 miles in 3 days. I couldn't do it, but some of you can. But it's a long march, and so they get near the city then of Ziklag, and they see it's up in smoke, and they get into the city, and they find out that everything has been burned and captured. Their wives are gone, their children are gone, their livestock is gone, everything is gone. Now, is that a tragedy or not? Well, as I was thinking about this, I just thought, you know, let's sing a song about this. And I thought about Take Time to Be Holy, because it says, "Speak oft with thy Lord." And we see here in today's study how David inquires of the Lord. We had that last week as well in another instance, but here we have him inquiring of the Lord. And then it says also, "Abide in him always and feed on his word." We will see David feeding on the word of God here in this tragedy as well. So it's got a couple of real keys there. In a tragedy, we need to inquire of the Lord and we need to feed on his word rather than say, "Oh, woe is me. How could this have happened? Tragedy like this has never happened to any other living person since Adam was created. You know, I don't know why I get picked on." But that's not really the right response, is it? Albeit, I mean, there are times when we just maybe get overtaken with grief or with the circumstances, and at least for a time, it may take us a little time to get to where David got, but he got there. But I thought we would just sing Take Time to Be Holy. The words are on the top of your notes there, so let's sing along, if you will.
Take time to be holy, speak often thy Lord.
taking time to be holy. I don't think it happens in the flesh. I don't think it happens naturally. I think we're bombarded moment by moment, second by second, every waking hour, but we don't have to be. We can take time to be holy. He has given us that ability. Well, in chapter 30, we begin. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day of this march from up by Jezreel, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. And their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. I can imagine. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed. Can you just imagine? We know we think of David as such a man of God, which he is, but here's a big blunder. He had blundered in going into the enemy territory, taking 600 men with him. And now for the battle against Israel, whatever he was thinking on that of going with the Philistines, I have no idea. But they left their wives and the whole city completely defenseless. Apparently all the men went. And so he is wide open now for this disaster, really, and it strikes. So what do his people think of him now? The people spoke of stoning him. Leadership is not always pleasant, isn't it? Particularly when things go bad. And here they want to stone him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. Kind of noticing there, they don't say anything about their wives, but I won't read too much into that. But it does say that they, they were grieved for their sons and their daughters, but, listen to this, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Is that what you do in a great tragedy? Allow and go to the Lord to be strengthened. David does this. As far as we know, this is the first time that it's recorded that he did that since he joined the enemy camp over a year and a half, probably earlier. So God gets his intention. And sometimes we just need to have God give us something that gets our attention, right? We call it a tragedy. We call it a disaster. We call it a bad luck. Well, I don't know. I don't think Christians call it bad luck, but he got his attention here. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And David brought the ephod to David. Now, this was God's words, commandments in those days for making a decision, and that was to use the Urim and the Thummim, which was in the high priest ephod's pocket. And remember, Abiathar had brought that with him when Saul killed all the priests up at Nob a little earlier, and so he had the high priest ephod. So David appropriately uses the word of God method, and that's something for us to remember as well. When we want a decision, particularly in a tragedy, on what to do, we need to go to God's word, right? Because when we're in fear or when we're upset, we make really bad decisions. We really do. God's word is true. And so he goes to God's word here, and through the Urim and the Thummim, he inquires of the Lord, saying two questions. One, shall I pursue this troop? Secondly, shall I overtake them? Good questions to ask. And God answered, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. An awesome example here of an answer to prayer. And notice God answers and God promises. But then also God says, pursue. So prayer is great. Prayer is important. God's answer is great. God's promise is great. But as we found so many times in the scripture, we still got to what? We still got to go and fight the battle. Can you imagine 600 guys having gone, like, say, 50 to 75 miles in 3 days and gone through this emotional roller coaster here with seeing their families all gone and everything burned. And then David says, okay, now we gotta go. We gotta go get them. But now they agree to that. I'm amazed that they would agree to that. But I think that they see God is in this and they're going to do it. So we read verse 9, beautiful three words, so David went. And can you put your name in that in a tragedy situation when we inquire and God tells us what to do? Is it so Phil went or so whatever your name is, put it in there, went, obeyed. He and the 600 men who were with him, and they came to Brook Besor. Brook Besor is a good distance from Ziklag, but maybe half the distance to where they're going. And now we get another trial. David is precisely in God's will, doing exactly what he said, and so he's promised the victory. That shouldn't be any real problem, should it? Well, God says, you're not, 30 people aren't going to, you aren't going to have, you got to cut down to 2/3, basically, is what happened here. He goes to Brook Besor, and 200 were too weary to cross, so they stayed behind with the stuff, and 400 went. So now his army has been decreased by a third. But he goes on. Then they found this Egyptian, and the Egyptian led them to where the Amalekites were. So David and the 400 men attack. And it says, verse 17, they attacked them from twilight until evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, or daughters, spoil, or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. Then David took all the flocks and herds they had driven before the other livestock and said, this is David's spoil. Now David came to the 200 men who had been so weary they could not follow David, whom they had also made to stay at the Brook Besor. So they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. And when David came near the people, he greeted them. Then all the wicked and worthless men, I guess that's most of his 400, because that's the group he had, wasn't it, a wicked and worthless men. Then all of them said with David, answered and said, because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil. Hey, you sissies, you couldn't go to the battle. We went and won, and it's all ours now. But David said, my brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us. Who? It wasn't man who took it. It was God had given to us, who has preserved us and delivered us into our hand, the troop that came against us. For who will heed you in this matter? But as for his part is who goes down to the battle, so shall his part be who stays by the supplies. They shall share alike. So it was from that day forward, he made it a statute and an ordinance. Now, when David came to Ziklag, he sent some of the spoils to the elders of Judah. What do we have here? Well, we have a number of things. One, we have David ended up with more than he had before this tragedy. And how many times in your tragedies will you, when you get done and look back, you will see that God has blessed you through this tragedy more than if you hadn't had it. What? You mean we can be blessed through tragedies? Well, look back on your own tragedies and see. Now, you may be the one exception in all of history that says Romans 8:28 doesn't work for me. But if that is the case of what you think, it's because you haven't waited long enough. Because it will. All things work together for good for those who love God. And so David gets more than he had in the beginning. And this principle of those who stay by the stuff in a support role will share and share alike with those on the front lines. And that is so comforting for most of us, because most of us are supporting the work of the Lord in prayer in many parts of the world or in many parts of wherever we are without actually being there ourselves. And yet the rewards, this principle still holds true today. I believe when you get to heaven, there will be people coming up to you from who knows, Timbuktu or wherever, and thanking you for their salvation, and you've never heard of them, seen them, you'd probably don't know where Timbuktu is. I don't know where Timbuktu is, but they call it Timbuktu somewhere. But you prayed for somebody who was there, and God knows. So that's an important principle here. We see in a tragedy, inquire of the Lord, go to His Word, And if the Lord gives you an answer right away, do it. If the Lord gives you time, you continue to seek Him. And when He says pursue or go, then you go. Is He your Lord or what? The Lord tells you to go, do you go? I came across something which I didn't have any idea of, which kind of startled me. I heard one person say, in conjunction with this, that is He the Lord of your life? And said, you know how many times in the book of Acts that the word Lord is given? And then how many times is the word Savior given? So I looked it up. 111 times in the book of Acts, the Lord is given. Only 2 times in the book of Acts is the word Savior given. In fact, the Savior is only given in the New Testament Gospels and the book of Acts only 5 times. So He is our Savior, no question about that. But that is done, what He has done in a sense of redeeming us, and on a continuing personal basis with our Lord Jesus, He is our Lord, isn't He? Because that means we are His slave, right? He is our master. He is our Lord. And I don't want to go too far into that because it's not that maybe significant. But we see here David was obedient, and through that obedience, the Lord fulfilled all that He had promised. Father, we thank You for this example again today that we need to go to You and we need to inquire of You no matter how grim the situation looks here. They were wanting to stone David, but once he came back to them with the instruction from the Lord, they were willing to go, and I bet they were a strong army at that point, even though they were absolutely totally worn out physically. The Lord is on our side, in a sense, or we are on the Lord's side, and He's promised us victory, and we can get our wives and children back. Let's go. And so, Lord, thank You for Your faithfulness, and help us to more quickly, in a time of tragedy, go to You, and then to be faithful to what You direct us to do. Lead us this morning as we have this time to pray now, and may we just pray with the direction by You, Holy Spirit, and we would be in one accord as we are led by one Spirit. Teach us to pray.